Russia might finally lead to its own demise. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan International staff writer. This article is published under the heading, Biden's Third World War Threats Might Destroy the U.S. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. What is happening in Ukraine is an entirely inter-Slavic affair that seemingly required a sort of military operation by Russia as the motherland of the Slavs in order to weed out dangerous elements on its borderlands that were Trojan horses of the West. The United States and major European powers have been clearly stumped by President Vladimir Putin's timely action. But instead of trying to see facts and realities, they seem to have opted for confrontation instead of coordination with Moscow in the interest of peace. President Joe Biden resorted to the same stale American tactics of economic terrorism without realizing that Russia has several aces up its sleeves to neutralize them to the detriment of the West. He's threatening a massive war on the assumption that even if Europe is destroyed for the third time in the space of a 100 years, the United States would be safe on the other side of the world without realizing that in case of any ill-advised military move in Ukraine by Washington, today's hypersonic missiles could easily reduce North American cities to a rubble in a matter of moments. Biden said, "You have two options. Start a third world war, go to war with Russia, physically, or to make sure that the country that acts so contrary to international law ends up paying a price for having done it." He is talking trash. What he means by violation of international law could boomerang on the U.S., which is the prime violator of all international rules, and should be made to pay dearly for not just the sanctions on the Islamic Republic of Iran, but for the illegal presence of the CENTCOM terrorists in our region, as well as destabilization efforts in Venezuela and other Latin American states, in addition to the militarization of the South China Sea, where U.S. terrorist forces are numbered in several thousand in Japan and South Korea, besides fanning flames of sedition in the breakaway Chinese island of Taiwan. The Russian president makes sense when he defends the military operation in Ukraine by saying, "The purpose of this operation is to protect people who, for 8 years now, have been facing humiliation and genocide perpetrated by the Kiev regime. It is obvious that Moscow will not tolerate a Zionist clown like Volodymyr Zelensky to allow NATO to absorb Ukraine." According to reports from Kiev, Ukrainians have welcomed the Russian troops, and contrary to the propaganda of the Zionist-controlled Western media, there is no sign of the so-called resistance. Even with the weapons made available to the public for national defense and whatever it means, there are many people settling accounts with each other because of long-simmering personal vendetta, while the antisocial elements are using the Western-supplied armaments to attack and loot shops. Thus, it is crystal clear that NATO has badly blundered. a military organization that had no justification to exist following the end of Cold War in 1991 and the dismantling of its socialist rival, the Warsaw Pact, its dream of eastward expansion to the borders of Russia might finally lead to its own demise.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadali, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and other issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are based upon the Holy Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all, supplemented by scientific data and facts. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher, Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi from the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear listeners, we will again be discussing the manners in which we can inspire self-confidence, self-reliance in our children. Now, previously we mentioned that it is good to monitor our children to make them feel safe and reassured, and to, in essence, act as a counselor and as an advisor for them in matters such as ethics, manners, akhlaq. And also, we mentioned that we should not restrain them too much with putting in place too many do-not rules, and rather to try and increase the amount of do, and instead of forcing a rule on them for something that is neither good or bad, and instead to make them decide and think for themselves. Now, dear Sayyid, what other methods and manners can be employed to inspire self-confidence in our children?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Among the things in our list when it comes to self-confidence in our children, and that is to help your child create relationship, a good relationships with other people.
Friendships.
Not just friendships, but any relationship. Now, a relationship is a general term.
Right.
It could be with a person that sells you groceries. It could be right. With your neighbor. It could be a passing person. It could be with the general community. So right. Sometimes teaching the kids how to say hello, or to say hello to begin with to people, to shake hands with them. You know, teach them these social activities.
Social etiquette, and that is very important.
Yeah, but social etiquette is one thing, and right. Trying to create a relationship with another. So, for example, you says hi to you yourself.
Right.
You tell your son, say hi to Uncle Fulan, shake his hand, give him a kiss. So you're teaching him to form a relationship with that person of some sort. Now, and as the child grows older, obviously these relationships will grow in a different format. So when the more we try, we create this nice relationship with our children and other people, you see that the child, his confidence will boost, especially if we as parents create this relationship with our children. A lot of parents, sadly, they don't have a good relationship with their children.
Unfortunately.
In terms, for example, being with them, playing with them, coming to down to their level, the relationship between a father and a son, or a father and a mother, or a girl, sometimes this relationship itself, it's cut, where everyone is on separate rooms. Obviously, that's not going to incite and create self-confidence. That will do the opposite. The closer you are to your child, the stronger the relationship and the bond between a father, a parent, or and the child, the more confident the child will be.
Right.
Because obviously it plays a lot of it plays a lot in his mental psyche that gives him the advice or gives him the idea that he is not alone and he has a support to rely on.
And keeping that in mind, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, and today we are discussing how we can inspire confidence in our children. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us even further.
Among the things that help a child grow his confidence a lot more in a faster time is the fact that we give our children appreciation and encouragement. Right. So children, they're constantly seeking their parents' approval. They're constantly wanting their parents to applaud them and appreciate the work that they do and, you know, give it a bit of value. So they do seek validation
from their
parents.
Yeah.
The more you give them that, obviously, the more you increase and you boost
their confidence. Right.
And some parents, sadly, they see this as to be such a meaningless act, so they don't say it.
Right.
So, I mean, sometimes even as a matter of saying thank you, that boosts the morale and the confidence of a child. He brings you a cup of water, you say thank you. He brings you something, you say to him thank you. And the more, the bigger the action is, the more appreciation and gratitude should come from the parent towards his child, just to make him feel that he's, he has self-value.
So the very least thing you can do is just say thank you.
Exactly. So sometimes we can begin and start with something that is small.
Right.
We don't have to go for something, big and major. I don't have to give him $100 for bringing me a cup of water.
Right.
But at least two words should not harm. Thank you.
Right.
And, sometimes even not that. Sometimes even a smile would do.
A pat on
the back would do. Wiping their hair would do. So any form of encouragement, any form of appreciation, any form of showing gratitude for an action that they do, that will definitely boost and increases their self-confidence.
Right.
Amongst other things that we can do to help our children increase their self-confidence is that teach them to be responsible themselves, or teach them to be able to take responsibility. And obviously, when it comes to responsibility, we say, it begins on a smaller scale. We don't say, from day one, teach a child how to be responsible for a household.
Right, go cook.
Or pay the bills.
Right.
Obviously, that's nonsensical.
Yeah.
So sometimes you teach a child to be sometimes in charge of his own things. And, it's a trick of mind. So you say it to him.
Like cleaning your room.
Yeah, like you're in charge of cleaning the room.
Right.
So obviously, because there's a title to it, now he feels that he is empowered. So you're giving him responsibility. So something like this could also help increase the child's confidence.
Right. And on that note, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner."
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing different manners and methods we can employ as parents to inspire self-confidence in our children. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
Now, we said that when it comes to a child, we teach them how to become self-responsible. Another thing that we should stay away from and avoid, and I think we mentioned this in many other episodes, is that to avoid and stay away from criticizing a child, and especially criticizing his bad behavior.
Right.
The more we criticize a child or his bad behavior, the more we enforce this bad behavior on in his mind,
right,
that this is what's been done and so on and so forth, and he will not feel immune to leave it. So it just stays in him. The more criticize we give to the child, the more we push him the other way, push him away from us. We push him away from self-confidence because now he starts to doubt himself,
right,
does not believe in himself, his confidence drop. So with the criticism, sometimes we as grown-ups, and I speak for myself, sometimes a person might criticize me for something very simple,
right,
but it does really drops my self-confidence to very, very low levels, especially if that person...
Somebody you respect.
Someone you respect, or right, someone who has, you know, an authority of some figure,
yeah,
or he's like, you know, in the field that I am, for example, a teacher or something like that. It does affect me a lot. I've seen that in myself, that sometimes I get so... My self-confidence drops so low that I can't do anything anymore.
Right. Say it about this criticism. Is it all manners of criticism, or is it just the bad kind of negative criticism?
They do say there's a bad criticism and constructive criticism.
Right.
Which I don't know how true these technical terms are, but what we know is Islamically, though, that we are being advised to give an advice to our fellow brethren if they make a mistake, for example, or something.
That is constructive criticism, then.
Well, if you want to call it constructive criticism, because you're still using the word criticize, which is a bad negative, right?
Right, but isn't that the first step?
And constructive is a positive. So you're using a positive and a negative in one word. Whether in Arabic, it says nasiha, and nasiha is constantly is what? Positive.
Positive, yes.
So we're not adding any negative word. Just saying a criticism with another word, the word itself...
Advice, then.
So it kind of throws you off.
Right,
so yeah. I'm just being very sensitive about using the word criticism or constructive criticism. So, you can, for example, you're saying constructive evil. So it's just the same, you know, a negative and a positive. Whether if we just use an advice, for example, is a different scenario. So if you see a child doing something bad, instead of just coming and telling him, oh, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that, and you go hard at him, you could just use it in a loving manner and speak nicely and calmly and gently to him, something he can be perceptive to, something he can understand, rather than just criticizing. So let's leave the criticizing, whether it's good or bad, constructive or not, aside. If you see a behavior from your child that you don't like, there's a nicer and a better way to approach than to be direct about it. You know the story of Imam Hassan and Hussein when they taught a man how to do wudu? They didn't come to him and said to him, "Ya Shaykh." They could have said to him in a constructive criticism. They could have said to him, "Your wudu is
wrong."
No.
That
would be,
so off.
No, that would be like being too direct. They could say to him, "Look, Islamically, your wudu does not fit the Islamic criteria.
Yeah.
You need to do a wudu that's Islamically accepted."
Yeah.
So they're telling him that your wudu is wrong, but in a constructive manner.
Right.
If we want to use that constructive criticism. Yeah. But what they did is, they did a completely different scenario. They said, me and my brother, we were trying to do wudu, and he says mine is wrong, I say his is wrong. Can you be the judge and tell us which one is correct? So they kind completely diverted the attention of the man from being direct with him, telling him whether, you know, constructive or non-constructive criticism. They went to a different method. So there are many methods we can correct the behaviors of our children without being direct.
Right. And keeping that in mind, we will unfortunately have to end today's program. I thank the dear Sayyid for his insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to all on the 27th of the month of Rajab, which is indeed one of the major Islamic festivals. Since this marks the formal start of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to mankind. So let us ponder on a wise saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. You should reward them who do you favors. If you cannot reward them, you should thank them. Showing gratitude is a sort of rewarding.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Persian language takes center stage in a conference in Tehran dubbed Promotion of Persian Language on Global Scale. The event seeks to preserve the ancient language through teaching it to non-Iranians. Yusuf Jalali has more.
Iran Imruz.
Persian language has been spoken for 3 millennia. But like every cultural heritage, it needs to be preserved. This is according to officials from Iran's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who sat with Persian language activists to discuss ways to promote Persian through teaching it to non-Iranians.
Today is actually the Persian language day for me and for many of my colleagues. So if you allow me, I would like to continue in Farsi.
Thank you for this opportunity. The identity of a nation is a set of shared beliefs, shared culture and history, and all of these issues are reflected in the language that each nation speaks. So today, all of those who have a role in the promotion of Persian language gathered to exchange views on the preservation of Persian, and we at the Foreign Ministry will facilitate any effort made in this regard.
1,000 years ago, Iran had a poet named Ferdowsi whose poems are still popular and understood by our generation. This is significant and shows that Persian is an old language that has stayed intact through the centuries.
Sa'di Foundation is the leading entity in the promotion of Persian language. Every year, the Institute, together with the Islamic Culture and Relations Organization, holds a number of Persian refresher courses in and outside Iran for non-Persian speakers. Recently, the Institute has launched online courses and published self-study books for Persian language enthusiasts.
By launching the online Persian training platforms, we saw a sudden increase in the number of applicants from different countries. This is because many of those who are interested in learning Persian gained an instant access to Persian teaching contents. At the same time, we continue to launch in-person courses organized by Iran's cultural attaches and hosted by Iranian overseas schools.
Persian comes from the Indo-European family of languages. The earliest versions of Persian date back to roughly 2,500 years ago, during the Achaemenid dynasty. Today, it is spoken by more than 300 million people in the world, and different dialects, including Dari and Pashto, in countries such as Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan. Besides its significant impact on science, medicine, and astronomy, Persian has its own prominent place in literature and poetry. Khayyam, Rumi, Sa'di, and Hafez are only a few examples of world-renowned Persian poets. Language is the identity of a nation, and through the centuries of its spoken and written history, Persian has grown to become the narrator of Iran's rich past and its ancient civilization. Now, as learning a language is learning a culture, experts here say promoting Persian on a global scale is translated into introducing Iran and its culture to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoch, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Hoch's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings. An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. It is now well-established facts that animals feel, think, behave, and even experience pain. Thus, they should be treated with the same respect as humans, while a center in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo is doing the same. Life-saving services to injured apes. The sanctuary, located in a vast national park, has been active for two decades. The center houses scores of chimpanzees, gorillas, and endangered great apes. Bonobos and bombos as well. Most of the animals that are brought to the sanctuary were rescued from poachers. The staff there provide medical care to the injured animals until they are healthy enough to be integrated into a group of their fellow species.
Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands
at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbe Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf. The 16th Fajr International Poetry Festival has wrapped up with an award ceremony in Tehran. The literary event aims to honor Persian poets from Iran and the world with the ultimate goal of elevating Persian poetry. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's an occasion to honor poets and poetry. The 16th edition of Fajr International Poetry Festival saw its closing ceremony in Tehran, where the best Persian poetry works of the year were acknowledged and awarded. During the event, participants from Iran and other countries contended in different categories, including classic poetry, modern poetry, and children and young adults.
I won the prize for the best poetry book for children and young adults. My book is titled Silence in the Mother Tongue. I'm so glad that my effort is seen, judged, and acknowledged by top Iranian literary personalities from the jury of the festival.
Certainly, Fajr Poetry Festival is of great significance to me as an Afghan poet. Here, literary experts from Iran, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and many parts of the world can network and make joint efforts to promote the Persian language.
Iran is known as the land of poets, being home to many world-renowned literary figures over the centuries, including Rumi, Hafez, and Khayyam. Experts here believe Persian poetry has no expiry date, and not only do Iranians still read ancient poems, they're also interested in modern prose and poetry.
Poetry is a beautiful language that speaks the beauty of the world, and such a language always communicates very well with the hearts of human beings. Iranians have long understood the beauty of this language and still listen to it and read it in its every form and genre.
Fajr International Poetry Festival was launched in 2006 as a platform for Persian poets from Iran and other Persian-speaking countries to get together for the elevation of Persian poetry. However, the literary event has grown to encompass non-Persian poets who are interested in Iranian literature.
Poetry holds a special position among Iranians, and you can rarely find an Iranian family that doesn't have a poetry book in their bookshelves. Now, aside from acknowledging Persian literary figures and poets, Fajr Festival seeks to preserve this long-standing culture and introduce it to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Color, beauty, and entertainment. The French city of Nice hosts a dazzling and flashy event. The so-called Battle of the Flowers took place on Saturday. Performers on top of animal-themed floats waved at the crowd and threw flowers at the audience while musicians played live. Each of the 16 floats was decorated with around 3,000 flowers. Also, thousands of people attended the event. The Battle of the Flowers is part of the carnival in Nice, which has been held annually for almost 150 years. An endangered Mediterranean monk seal has embarked on a new solo adventure after spending months under the care of conservationists. Four-month-old Evie was released back into the wild on February 15th in northern Greece. Evie was rescued when she was only 7 days old. She had been washed ashore and separated from her nursing mother during a storm. However, conservationists found the lucky seal and started taking care of her. Even though Evie's health was poor, she recuperated quickly.
She was really dehydrated in the beginning, which is very common with pups that separate from their mothers at such an early age. And the first few weeks were critical for her health because there's basically no way to replenish, like to replace the mother's milk. So we have a certain protocol and a food regimen that we provide along with vitamins and other supplements to the seal. And thankfully, in the first few weeks, she showed signs of her health status became better.
The conservationists hope Evie will be able to join a community of her species soon. They will be tracking her movements with a chip. There are only a few hundred Mediterranean monk seals left in the wild. About half of them live in Greece. Entrapment from fishing, pollution, depletion of food resources, and climate change are some of the threats facing the species.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza.
The City of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Mehsan Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century, performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west, a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the Simurgh is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
Well, I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix, a fusion of different music, and that's always interesting. And it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences, between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, that through things like music and art, there can also be synergy and, like, yeah, things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. On a special day, on a special occasion, we have today's special from IRIB English Radio. Congratulations on the day of Mab'ath. This is a great divine blessing and congratulations to all Muslims all around the world. Be with us with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Tuesday, is the 27th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of March, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Muslim brothers and sisters, congratulations on the Eid of Mab'ath.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
Bi'that of the Holy Prophet, the most important event in all history. That is the title of this part. The issue of Bi'that and the occurrence of this divine event is the important thing that has ever happened to humanity. In the history of mankind, no other event has been more significant than Bi'thah, and no divine blessing has been greater than this blessing. We have the honor of having accepted Bi'thah with all our heart and soul. We have developed faith in it and we have become familiar with this path of happiness. And this great opportunity, on the day of prophecy of Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, we have this special episode of today's special.
Mustafa, anta nabiyul amin, wa sayyidul mursaleen. رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين
Bayset is a great divine blessing, and every Muslim has a responsibility to achieve the paradise of divine and spiritual happiness through building faith, doing good deeds, and moving towards the goals of the Holy Prophet of Islam's Betha. The issue of Betha is a definite truth in the world. The purpose of the kind of justice that is supposed to be administered in the world as a result of the Holy Prophet's Betha was not to make a particular group of people develop faith in it at a particular stage without the majority of human beings developing faith in it through history. Rather, the issue of Betha was put forth in order to build a new world and new human beings and to help all human beings achieve perfection. On the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, thousands of congratulations from this program. Today's a special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the most important message of all the divine prophets, or most important message of all the divine religions. In human civilization, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God the Almighty, has dispatched many prophets from time to time. I mean, at certain intervals. Well, here I don't want to review a history of the divine religions. However, it seems true and quite acceptable that whenever a divine religion was going to fade away in history or lose its color, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispatched another divine prophet for people to guide them. But all of them being dispatched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them have followed one and the same main message or main mission. The building block of all the divine religions is belief, is sincere and staunch belief in monotheism, that is, in the belief that there's one and only one deity and God in the whole world. Nothing and nobody should be associated with God, the Almighty. And because of this, we may say that, for example, Abrahamic religions are monotheistic religions. And this is a fact. This is a historical fact. Even believers in such faiths like Christianity and Judaism, if not others, believe that, I mean, the basic building block of all the divine religions is belief in the monotheism. Monotheism means that there's only one and only one God or deity or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here I don't want to discuss various names and designations of the deity. For example, in Islam it's called Allah, or I mean other characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahman, Rahim, Qadir, Alim, are highlighted. Now we want just to steer in the course of the basic and essence of the basic essence of the divine monotheism.
Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of creed. Let us rejoice indeed. For this is the day of
La ilaha illallah Muhammad.
Unique characteristics of Prophet Muhammad. We're going to speak about his universe mission. The most we can say about the scope of the mission of the previous prophets is that their mission included all people of their time across the globe and remained in force until the advent of the next lawmaking prophet. The mission of the Prophet of Islam, however, was for the whole mankind across the globe and until the Day of Judgment, his mercy for the whole world. Allah Almighty, chapter 21, verse 107, "And we have not sent you but as a mercy for the world." About the seal of prophets, we open the Holy Quran and we reach to chapter 36, verse 40. "Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets." The religion of Prophet Muhammad was Islam in its complete form with no perversion in it. Allah says in chapter 30, verse 43, "So set you, O Muhammad, your face on the straight and right religion." Dear brothers and sisters, accept our congratulations on the Eid of Bisa. The dimensions of goals of the Holy Prophet's Bitha. In fact, Mab'ath was the day when the flag of a mission was raised, a mission whose characteristics are outstanding and unique for humanity. Mab'ath raised the flag of knowledge and understanding in the world. Bitha started with the divine order. Read. Read. Read in the name of your Lord who created. And it continued with the following order: call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and goodly exhortation. That is to say, the call was accompanied by wisdom. The Islamic call is in fact an effort to promote and spread wisdom to different parts of the world and to different historical eras. Bitha was an effort to raise the flag of justice and to establish justice among believers, Allah's servants and all human beings. And the mission is to raise the flag of noble human values. Addressing the Holy Prophet of Islam, Allah the Exalted said, "And we have not sent you but as a mercy to the world."
Mustafa, Mustafa, Mustafa.
At the same time, we find that even in certain Jahiliya religions of faith is, I mean, by Jahiliya we mean pre-Islamic dark ages in Arabia. And the end of the Jahiliya period was coincided with the advent of the Islamic religion. In fact, the Islamic religion, the coming up and the emergence and the advent of the Islamic religion ended the Jahiliya period in ancient Arabia. Now we find that this monotheism, this divine monotheism, is of so much significance that not only in the divine discourse that is in the Holy Quran, but also in the discourses of the infallibles, it has been very much stressed and emphasized. In the discourses of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha as the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us his light in the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such that the somber clouds of polytheism would diminish and all the dark veils of ignorance would be removed. So we find that the divine monotheism wasn't simply an introduction to a new type of religion, rather it was a brand new guideline and guiding light for all mankind. Thank you.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much. You listened another episode of today's special on a very, very special occasion. Today is Mab'at. Accept our congratulations. Have a nice day. Have a nice Eid.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi,
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.